Good morning. I'd like to bring this meeting of House Special Committees on Fisheries to order, and the time is, oh, we're very late, 11:08, sorry about that, on Thursday, February 15th. Members present are Representative Tarr, Representative Newman, Representative Christ Tompkins, and myself, Chair Stutes. We do have a quorum. I'm going to remind you to silence your cell phones. We are allowing the use of electronic devices during the committee meeting. We are asking that if staff and members of the audience, please do not approach the table. If you need to pass a note to a committee member, please get the attention of my committee aide, Matt Greening, over here, and he will be happy to take care of it for you. I'd like to thank Brian Glynn, the Fisheries Committee Secretary, and Leah Kraft from the Juno LIO for the tech and teleconferencing support. I also would like to note that Representative Eastman has joined us, and I would like to also note that we have fresh donuts over there. Care of Representative Ortiz, we had to auction his keys off to him to get him to do that, but he finally pulled through for us. So please feel free. Yes, please feel free to help yourself to a donut or a portion of one if you'd like. Today, the committee will be hearing a presentation from the Department of Natural Resources on their permitting process. Here to present, we have Kyle Moselle, who is Associate Director of the Office of Project Management and Permitting with the Department of Natural Resources. Welcome, Mr. Moselle. If you'd please come forward, identify yourself and your affiliation for the record, and begin with your presentation.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. I am Kyle Moselle, Associate Director for Office of Project Management and Permitting within the Alaska Department of Natural Resources. I believe on the phone also, Madam Chair, we have Director Brent Goodrum for the Division of Mining, Land, and Water, and we may have Acting Director Don Perrin on the phone from my office.
We have him as well. Thank you for that.
If there's nothing else, Madam Chair, I can start.
Please proceed. You have a question, Representative Newman? Yes, please. Feel free to ask your questions. I'm sure we have plenty of time. Thank you.
Thank you. The Department of Natural Resources' mission is to develop, conserve, and maximize the use of Alaska's natural resources consistent with the public interest. The Department of Natural Resources manages all state-owned land, water, and natural resources, except for fish and game, on behalf of the people of Alaska. When all land conveyances from the federal government are completed, the people of the state will own land and resources on 104 million acres. Approximately 100 million acres have been conveyed so far. The state owns approximately 60 million acres of tidelands, shorelands, and submerged lands, and manages 40,000 miles of coastline. The state also owns the freshwater resources of the state, a resource that equals about 40% of the entire nation's freshwater flow. The department is currently organized into seven divisions that reflect its major programs. Based on the committee's request, I'll focus today's presentation on regulatory processes of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water, and project coordination processes for the Office of Project Management and Permitting in the context of rivers, lakes, and streams. When discussing management of Alaska's waterways, it's important to define a few key terms. In the most basic sense, a waterway is comprised of the water itself and the land below the water. The Alaska Lands Act defines water in two ways: water that is navigable in fact, and water that is reasonably suitable for public use. Lands belonging to the state, located under state waters, are defined as either shorelands, which are covered by non-tidal navigable water, tidelands, which extend from mean high water to mean low water of tidally influenced waterways, and submerged lands, which extend from mean low water seaward out to 3 miles.
Madam Chair.
Representative Newman, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, this is interesting stuff, and I'm sure we'll be looking at a lot of this, and I think this is great information, you know, to use with 199, so I appreciate it. Mr. Mazzell, is the department currently looking at different changes right now? Did I see a change in regulation going out for water standards, quality, identifying, or changes in water standards or quality, something like that? Ms. Madam Chair, the reason I'm asking is this might be peripheral with 1191, and I thought the department was working on changes. I thought I'd seen something with many regulation changes that we see that had to do with changes in water definitions for, and I think something like that. And I just wondered if Mr. Mazzell had something like that, because it might be working hand in hand with this.
Right. And I will give you an opportunity to answer that, but I want to caution the committee here that this is purely on their current permitting process, and this has nothing to do or no relation with 199. We're trying to expose to the committee their current process, so when and if 199 comes before this committee, you will have an idea of what the current process as opposed to what it may possibly need to be. So,
thank you, Madam Chair. Now, this is very useful, you know, for regular definitions from the Lands Act, and we're doing this thing. It's very beneficial
right.
for all of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good plan.
Please.
And, Madam Chair, I would defer to Director Goodrum on the phone, I think, to answer the question if you'd like it answered or addressed.
Certainly. He can answer the question if there are any proposed changes currently in process.
Yes, Madam Chair. My name is Brent Goodrum. I'm the Director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. Through the Chair, to Representative Newman, I believe he spoke a little bit to water quality. Water quality would be DEC's jurisdiction. We have a scoping that has to do with regards to some of our water regulations, but they generally do not involve water quality standards. But we do have a scoping that we did a way back, and we're still looking at some of our regulations that deal with our water authorizations.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'll chase that myself a little further.
Okay.
And I'll keep you in the loop.
Thank you, Mr. Goodrum. Proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Division of Mining, Land, and Water regulates a broad spectrum of activities using various tools and is guided in its administrative decisions by the Alaska Constitution, state law, agency regulations and policies, DNR area and management plans, previous decisions, and case law. Many uses and activities are generally allowed on state land managed by the Division and do not require prior approval from the Division, provided standard conditions are followed. Uses and activities on state lands that are not generally allowed under state law require written authorization from the Division. Land use permits authorize temporary, non-exclusive activities that can be effectively managed through project-specific conditions. As a matter of agency policy, applications for these types of approvals are posted to the statewide online public notice website. Easements and leases convey an interest for use of state land. Therefore, the Division must find it is in the best interest of the state prior to granting an easement or lease, and public notice is required.
I have a question.
Yes, Madam Chair.
I was reading this, so I hope you didn't say it already and I missed it. On all of these permit approvals, you have a public process in place?
I'm not sure if Director Goodrum might want to address that. As far as the slide goes, what I've identified on the slide is that generally allowed uses are regulated per 11 AAC 96020, and so that would have gone through a rulemaking process to define those uses. And so those do not require a notice. The permit authorizations and approvals, the middle tier there, as a matter of division policy, those are the applications are noticed through the statewide online notice website. And then the third tier in this slide, easements and leases, those by statute require public notice, and it's a full public notice, and I'll explain that process a bit more in the next two slides.
Perfect. Thank you. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Muzel, when we're looking at, say, just permitting authorization and approval, and I look at floating dock, we'll say that one, how many of these are peripheral to other departments? I believe like a docks, don't they have to go over, and if it's in the Mat-Su, the director of sport fish in the Mat-Su has to sign it off. Sam Ivey would have to sign off on the dock, and probably somebody from Habitat would also have to have sign off on that permit. Or I think my point is, Madam Chair, is other departments that are peripheral to what we see with these permits, and what is their role?
Through the chair to Representative Newman, yes, there are, for the example you gave, a floating dock, there may be other state permits, authorizations, laws, regulations that apply to that activity, and the Division of Mining, Land, and Water, in reviewing that proposed action under their statutes and regulations, will consult with the other departments as needed in that peripheral relationship. The applicant, though, is responsible for securing all federal, state, and local approvals for their activity.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think that what I wanted to point here is a lot of these departments work together like that for the approval of these. But while we're looking at this, and it's great, they go to these other departments, and like with the sport fish. And what that does is you're not having just one department or a person who's working on that permit, but other people are looking at a permit also.
Correct. And I think that when we had our presentation by the Department of Habitat, they went more into depth on when somebody's asking for a permit, the different departments that they work right alongside of, and when permits are required. So your point is well taken.
So there's checks and balances too. So on some of these permits, if there's opposition or people who support them, there's other people. It's not just one person making that decisions
right
on them. But then again, it's multiple departments having to do all this permitting too. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Newman. Proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the next two slides provide a generalized summary of a single agency review by the Division of Mining, Land, and Water for a process related to a lease or easement. Once a complete application is received by the division, technical staff begin researching relevant resource data and area plans. Then they develop their supporting information and consult with other state agencies. For example, the division will consult with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to gather relevant fish and wildlife information and evaluate potential impacts from the proposed activity on important habitats or known harvest areas. Division staff will also consult with the applicant to discuss issues of concern. All of the information is compiled in the project record, and a preliminary decision is drafted for management review. The division publicly notices the preliminary decision in local newspapers and on the statewide online public notice website. The division considers every comment received during the public notice period, consulting with other state agencies as necessary, and the final decision is publicly noticed. In the context of complex natural resource development projects, numerous state authorizations are often required, along with federal and local authorizations. In these situations, intergovernmental coordination is important to ensure each agency has relevant information to inform their individual decisions and to avoid duplication of efforts and avoid conflicting permit requirements for the applicant. It also allows for joint public notices so the public is given a more complete picture of the proposed activities on which to base their comments. The Office of Project Management and Permitting facilitates project permit coordination, and we represent the state as a cooperating agency during the federal environmental review process. Working in collaboration with other divisions of DNR and other state agencies, as depicted in this generalized diagram.
Madam Chair.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Marcel, I believe I know the department had been working to mining claims or small mining permits that from the federal government to help our small miners with less federal paperwork and do the inspection process, and that is the state can still is the state still working to do that?
Through the chair to Representative Newman, I am going to defer to Director Goodrum on that specific request or the specific question.
Mr. Goodrum, did you hear the question?
Yes, Madam Chair, for the record, Director Brent Goodrum, through the chair, Representative Newman, yes, we continue to work with federal miners who have claims where the state has state-selected land in that area and over their claims. Last year, we brought in about 17 federal mining claims. Additionally, just a few months ago, we worked and were able to bring in 709 acres immediately adjacent to the Fort Knox mine that potentially allows that that project and that ongoing operation to continue to operate. Additionally, just very recently, we also got a decision document from the Bureau of Land Management with regards to lands in and around the Graphite One project, and so we will likely in the very near future be able to bring in those mining claims and allow for those federal claims to be converted over to state claims. And so this is an important issue to miners in Alaska, and we do continue to actively work those situations so that we can continue to bring good opportunities into state management.
Thank you,
Madam Chair. And this has been an important project for the department to help our small miners, you know, so they don't have to do with the feds. They just work with the state. It's more local. They understand the processes. That's great. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to go back. So on the two pages where we talk about the single agency review and the second page, you know, includes the public notice part. But then on this slide that we're looking at, when we look at, and I guess you maybe haven't gotten there yet, but for example, temporary water use authorizations, those don't actually have a public process. And I guess that's one of the things that's been brought to my attention is, you know, that should be considered perhaps by the department to add, you know, an element of public review to that. And I don't know if that's the only circumstance, you know, for this sort of summarized single agency review that doesn't actually involve collecting public input. So I guess if you could comment on that. But my understanding is that there was a scoping period that was started a couple of years ago to collect public comments on the temporary water use authorization, and that I guess has not, you know, been updated or changed. And just if you could speak to those issues.
Through the chair to Representative Tarr, I'll start and then I'll offer an opportunity for Director Goodrum to maybe fill in. As far as this slide goes, maybe I'll explain a little bit of the key first to get to your question. The yellow box around the temporary water use authorization, which you specifically asked about, it's represented in the key as a courtesy public notice. That's a term I've used on this graph. It means that there's not a statutory regulatory requirement for a public notice for that particular authorization like there is for a lease or easement or a water right. And so the red boxes on this graph represent public notice required. What that means is statutorily or regulatory required. But as a matter of agency policy of DNR, the temporary water use authorization applications are posted on the online public notice website. So there is a public process, but it's a matter of policy rather than statute or regulatory requirement.
Okay.
And with that, I'll give Director Goodrum an opportunity to maybe fill in some of the details.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Director Goodrum. One thing I want to clarify about a temporary water use authorization, it never advances or ever becomes a right. It's always something that is revocable at will by the state. They are generally needed for projects throughout the state, and it's at a limited duration. They cannot be any longer than 5 years. We do every temporary water use application that we get, we do an agency notice in which we will always reach out to Fish and Game and DEC to ensure that there's any issues or concerns that they may have in that area, that we have the ability to issue it or address that issue within our authorization. But as Mr. Moselle has mentioned, we do provide courtesy notices of those applications that we do receive.
Follow-up, Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the courtesy notice, that is just that the application is received, but that's not actually a public comment period?
Through the Chair, Representative Tarr, there isn't necessarily a formal public comment opportunity. What it is we make notice of it. If we do receive feedback or input, we will consider that as we are adjudicating that application. But there isn't like a hard set, 30 days that we're required to remain open for public comment.
And just one more follow-up.
Thank
you. That helps me understand this. And I'm just wondering, I mean, this is an issue that's been brought to my attention as an area where we should consider potentially, you know, making it, I guess, then statutorily required that there would be public comment. And so on these other areas, I'm not as familiar and now, you know, want to look into a couple of these other yellow boxes. But have you heard, I know through the scoping period that was opened in 2016 with Administrative Order 266, I know some people, because this is how this was brought to my attention, did submit comments calling for reform, at least on the temporary water use authorization and including public comment. So I'm just wondering if you're considering that, and then, for any of the other yellow boxes, are you considering, formalizing the public comment period, or do you feel that you're getting enough feedback from the public for some of those, because certainly some are less controversial than others?
Through the Chair, Representative Tarr, yes, through the water regulation scoping process, we did get comments. We are evaluating all the comments that we've received. We've not yet come to any consensus on revisions that need to be made, and so we haven't gone forward with any, regulatory changes that are proposed yet. And to the degree that we either have or haven't yet done any scoping for some of the other areas, we would address those issues at that time.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, that last part and the connection is just not great here, so maybe just like the last couple sentences, something about you got comments from the scoping period, you haven't made any changes, but something last part couldn't quite make out.
Sorry. Through the Chair, Representative Tarr, yes, with the water regulations, we have received some comments. We are still reviewing and looking at the regulations. The other processes, we just haven't done any type of scoping yet at this point. And if we get to that point, that's when we would be open to looking at additional suggestions on how we might look at those processes better.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Tarr.
And Madam Chair,
yes.
If I could just make a comment sort of generically, I think what brings me to wanting to have a conversation about that is that, some of the concerns I think from members of the public when I hear about them are related to that lack of public process and may not even be, related to concerns about the project itself. But I think sometimes if we sidestep and don't have a good public process, that just the trust maybe is sort of broken between the public and the department and potentially the developer. So I do hope as you consider, revisions that we think about that and just think about how, in my experience, if we can try to work a little more collaboratively on the front end of things, you can potentially alleviate any of the, longer delay type things that result from lawsuits and, other outcomes that are, you know, less desirable, but I think sometimes stem from people feeling like there isn't enough information, and so, you know, just for feedback as you consider those changes or any additional scoping period for comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
So in summary, DNR manages the state's natural resources except for fish and game on behalf of the people of Alaska. Many activities are generally allowed while others require DNR authorization. Leases and easements, which convey an interest in use of state lands, require a best interest finding and public notice. DNR consults with other state agencies as part of its permitting process, and for complex projects that require multiple state authorizations, the Office of Project Management and Permitting may facilitate intergovernmental coordination. And with that, I would be happy to answer any further questions.
I have a question, and I know that this is, you can give me a very thumbnail answer. So the department must be anticipating some pretty significant involvement in the road from King Cove then. Wouldn't this particular department be actively involved in that preparation for that road?
Madam Chair, I am not involved with that project or familiar with it, so I'm going to hope that Director Goodrum is in the know on that one.
Oh, okay. Director, am I outside your realm here in asking about how involved you're going to be in the road? Isn't it called the Eisenbeck? It's across the Eisenbeck.
National Wildlife. And Madam Chair, please. If he could comment also, because I've been thinking that same thing, but my understanding is that it's the land transfer between the Native Corporation and the federal government because it's the refuge lands going to the corporation. And so I am curious in terms of, I think, do they maintain ownership of it then? And then is it, you know, permitting through the regular state permitting process?
I don't have any idea, but I would imagine that DNR. Could you help us out here, Director Goodrum?
Madam Chair, this is Brent Goodrum. I don't have a lot of knowledge about it. As Representative Tarr mentioned, the land exchange was between the local community and the federal government. I would anticipate that if there were a road being built, that DOT may be involved. But I am uncertain at this point as to what other activities. Obviously, if there were to be water authorizations that would be requested, we would be looking at those and reviewing those. But I just simply don't know enough of the details at this moment about that particular project to give you a real solid answer. I apologize.
Oh, that's no problem. I don't think probably anybody does at this point. I was just kind of curious. I thank you for your attempt anyway. Do we have any further questions? Well, Mr. Moselle, thank you. We appreciate you taking your time to come and present before this committee. Our next House Fisheries meeting will be on Tuesday, February 20th at 11 a.m. We will be hearing House Bill 260, Fishing Game Licenses, Electronic Form, sponsored by Representative Sadler. So please note that we will not meet until 11 o'clock next Tuesday. We will have our closeout of Fish and Game at 10 o'clock. So please be here for that. And seeing no further action to come before this committee, we will adjourn at 11:37.